All right, let's see. That was fun. All right, good morning, everybody. This is the regularly scheduled meeting of the Portland City Council, Wednesday, May 24th, 2017. Susan, please call the roll.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Udaly.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Purpose of council meetings is to do the city's business, including hearing from the community on issues of concern. In order for us to hear from everyone and to give due consideration to matters before the council, we must all endeavor to preserve the order and decorum of these meetings. To make sure that the process is clear for everyone, I want to review some of the basic guidelines, which I hope will help everybody to feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe at the meeting, and also to ensure that decorum is maintained. There are two opportunities for public participation. First, we have an opportunity for people to sign up for communications to briefly speak about any subject that they would like to speak about. These items must be scheduled in advance with the city clerk's office. Second, people may sign up for public testimony on the first readings of reports, resolutions, and ordinances. If you sign up, your testimony must be about the matter being considered at the time. Please state your name for the record. We don't need your address. If you're a lobbyist, please state that. If you're here representing an organization, that's useful information as well. Individuals have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, the yellow light will go on. You'll hear a beep. When your time is up, the red light goes on. You'll hear, I think it's like 4 or 5 beeps. Conduct that disrupts the meeting. For example, shouting or interrupting other people's testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. Personal attacks and insults levied against city and council staff, many of whom are required to testimony as a condition of their employment, will not be tolerated. People who disrupt the meeting face ejection from the meeting. If there is a disruption, I'll issue a warning that if any further disruption occurs, anyone who is disrupting the meeting will be subject to ejection for the remainder of the meeting. Anybody who's asked to leave and doesn't is subject to arrest for trespassing. So, again, on that happy note, let's start with communicating. The kids are all like shaking their heads going, yeah, of course, that's so obvious, right? It's obvious. Common sense, common decency, common courtesy. Please call the first item.
We have communications today, item 522 through 526. And this is, these are students from French American International School addressing council regarding community concerns from the youth perspective.
And colleagues, they have asked for an additional 2 minutes. They have rehearsed their testimony, and it's 2 minutes over, and I believe we can extend that courtesy.
So I just want to remind you to speak into the microphones, because that way the captioners can make sure that everybody can understand it, when both in the chambers and watching at home.
Slide those mics as close to you, not right up to your face, but within 6 inches is about the right distance. There you go. Good job. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lily Segna. I'm in sixth grade at Gilkey International Middle School. I'm here today to talk about a program I'd like to propose. This program would incorporate the Oregon Silver Spot Butterfly into the Portland Public School curriculum to raise awareness that this butterfly, native to the West Coast, is listed as threatened on the endangered species list. The primary reason that the Oregon silver spot is threatened is due to habitat loss. The silver spot solely depends on blue violets to lay its eggs on and for its caterpillars to eat. Habitat loss is primarily due to the increasing number of invasive plants taking over the land the blue violets need to survive. The Oregon silver spot butterfly is important to the ecosystem, which is why we should protect it. This butterfly is important because it is a pollinator and an indicator species. What it means to be a pollinator is that the silver spot fertilizes plants, which causes the plants to produce food, which we then eat. As an indicator species, if silver spots disappear from an ecosystem, it means that there's a problem in that ecosystem that could affect other pollinators. This butterfly is so important that the Oregon Zoo has a program to help restore its habitat and population. I'm asking you, Portland City Council members, to fund the Portland Public Schools to create a program that would incorporate the Oregon silver spot into the elementary school curriculum. My vision of this program could include a partnership with the zoo. In this program, students could play a game developed by the zoo to learn about the life cycle of the Oregon silver spot. They could also take a field trip to the zoo for a behind-the-scenes tour of the silver spot restoration project. I think this program should be aimed for elementary school kids, because if you pass a message to a kid, they will pass the message to everybody around them so that everybody hears the message. My ultimate goal is to raise awareness about endangered species by educating kids about the Oregon silver spot, which is listed as threatened on the federal endangered species list. The Oregon silver spot butterfly isn't just a pretty insect fluttering from flower to flower. It is also a large part of the world around us. If the population drops lower, we are taking away an important part of the ecosystem, an important part of our Earth. When kids today see Oregon silver spot butterflies, it becomes a special memory. If the silver spot becomes extinct, we may be taking away this special memory for generations to come. Remember, your actions will impact the Earth for generation after generation, year after year. I hope you consider my proposal. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Good morning.
Hello, my name is Smriti.
I'm Alyssa.
My name is Adriana. We are students at Gilkey International Middle School. We are here to tell you about the Portland homeless crisis.
It is very noticeable and it's getting worse and worse, and we have to do something about it.
We are here to tell you some solutions we have come up with to give more homeless people homes and give them education to get them back on their feet.
There are people that are homeless because of luck, but there are people that are homeless because of drugs, drinking, and losing things that they already have. So why don't we care about the homeless? They're people too, and they should deserve what we get. If we look down at them, it makes not only them unhappy, but us too. We will start overflowing with homeless on the street, so it's time to take action and make a difference.
Oregon is the second worst in the country at providing shelters for the homeless. There is 620,000 homeless in Oregon, but we only have about 15 homeless shelters and 2 family shelters. Only 60.5% of Oregon's homeless have a shelter to sleep in every night. A homeless shelter is a place where you can go when times are rough. But think about if you have a family. You don't want to separate from your family. And that's why we need more family shelters. It is scary to leave your family and live alone. And that's why we need more family shelters. A family shelter is where families can go when times are rough. But think about a family shelter is where families can stay together and learn about managing money and other necessary life skills. We only have 2 family shelters in Oregon and only has about six rooms in each. And we need way more than 6 rooms to help get families off the streets. Family shelters not only give a roof over their head, but educate people in living so they can get back on their feet. But regular shelters don't offer that, and that has to change because everyone deserves to have a roof over their head and some education.
In conclusion, we have come up with a couple of solutions to help get homeless people off the streets. Our first solution is to simply get more family shelters in Oregon. This is expensive but is very effective. Another more reasonable solution is to add more rooms to the current family shelters. We have had enough time waiting, and it's time to take action before it's too late. Help make Portland a better place.
Our sources are portlandoregon.gov,
cityjournal.org,
and the Multnomah County Department of County Human Services.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Sure, appreciate it. Thank you. Excellent testimony. And were there more students, Susan? Yeah. Who? Yes. Oh, very good.
Two more. 3 more.
Good morning. Good morning. There's 1 more chair down there. There you go. And again, if you could just make sure the microphones are and they go up and down and to the side. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Camille, and I believe that some dog parks should be fenced. I do not want all dog parks to be fenced, because some dogs like to run around free, but more than 10 out of 26. In your packet, there are some maps of places I would like to fence. Because I'm the owner of an exuberant chocolate lab, I like knowing I can let him loose and still have the peace of mind he won't run away or get hurt. Also, being allergic to dogs is very common and can be very dangerous. In fact, according to abcnews.go.com, 15% of people are allergic to dogs, and 30% of people with asthma are allergic to pets. If we fence dog parks, people in the park that are allergic won't have to worry constantly. Also, parents who don't know if their child is allergic won't have to worry that there has been a dog in the park. According to bringfido.com, there is at least 36 dog parks in Portland, and only 10 are fenced. Those parks are the Field Park, East Delta Park, Gabriel Park, Portland International Raceway Park, Brentwood Park, Normandale Park, North Clackamas Park, Cooch Park, and Chimney Park. That means dog owners may have to drive far to get to one of those parks. I want to make sure every dog can get to a fenced park. The government can fund fencing of my chosen five parks, Fernhill, Fraser, Lorehurst, Overlook, and Woodstock Parks. In your packet, you can see my ideas for where I would fence those parks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Parsa.
And I'm Maira.
Today we're going to talk about graffiti, specifically in our beautiful city, Portland, Oregon. We'll be telling you why we are against all graffiti, including hateful graffiti and the type you see on the side of the highways, which may or may not be inappropriate.
So, as you can see, our topic is graffiti, especially getting rid of hateful graffiti, and it is getting worse. According to KPTV.com, it is costing Oregon $300,000 to $400,000 per year. This is beyond what it should be costing, and we have to do something about it. We want to help you do something about it. I am passionate about this because our community has recently struggled keeping anti-Semitic and hate against anyone for race, gender, or religion under control and out of our Portland neighborhoods.
I am passionate about this particular issue because our planet is giving us a clean and healthy life, and we are spray painting hateful things, which is harmful to our environment because we are spreading the bad toxins in the air from the spray paint. I'm also passionate about this issue because it is offensive to many of our Portland residents and people all over the world that are put down by these unnecessary and disrespectful remarks that they see on the side of walls and buildings everywhere they go. This is not healthy for others or ourselves, seeing as people that spray paint these things are simply doing it out of boredom. I don't like the idea of making our planet dirty because the planet gave us an opportunity and we are wasting it and misusing the rights we have.
I am also passionate about this particular issue because I was raised in a Jewish household with two mothers. I have noticed that some of these hateful messages that we are seeing around Portland are directed at Jewish people and the LGBT community. According to OregonLive.com, on Monday, March 13th, 2017, residents of Southeast Portland, Oregon, woke up to swastika graffiti in their neighborhood on cars, fences, trees, and various other items. Also, according to K2 News, on March 20th, 2017, the neighbors that were victims of the swastika graffiti were protesting against anti-Semitic graffiti spray-painted on people's cars in Southeast Portland. More than 100 people gathered at Waverly Heights Congregational Sunday School to have a rally against hateful graffiti and let people know that hate won't be tolerated in their neighborhood. Many people drew Jewish stars and other signs in chalk on the sidewalk and called it peace painting.
Even though we know some graffiti is made on purpose for decoration, most graffiti is made when people get bored. This means they'll probably get together and start illegally spray painting some walls. Some people enjoy the adrenaline rush of doing something illegal or running away from cops on purpose. We believe that not all graffiti is bad. If graffiti is done on property that they don't have a permit to be on, or if it is hateful, such as some of the graffiti we have seen recently, but graffiti can be good if the people do it for decoration and they're simply doing it out of enjoyment of doing art. Another reason graffiti can be good is if they're doing it in a place where they have a permit to be on or their own property. And finally, they can release stress by spray painting.
We need your help with educating people that we are all the same and we should celebrate diversity. Also, we would like to help you by possibly starting a fundraiser with volunteers or collaborate with a community group to raise money to pay for graffiti removal.
We will be open to any ideas or suggestions you may have regarding downsizing the cost of graffiti removal so we can once again focus on paying for education and getting our art and music back into the curriculum. After our current president, Donald Trump, was elected, there were a number of hate crimes, including racist and other disrespectful graffiti that has suicidal messages, and this resulted in many calls to a suicide prevention hotline.
We think that this is unacceptable, and we need to be welcoming and understanding of others and celebrate our differences instead of putting people down.
Thank you for your time, and we hope you will consider our ideas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just slide it right over. There you go.
Okay. Hello. Hello, my name is Andrew, and I come from the Gilkey International School, and I'm here to talk about solar power and why it is better for our planet. Although dirty energy and fossil fuels don't seem like a threat, going solar is very important to me because I am very sensitive to pollution and smoke. And sometimes when I go walking downtown, it's hard for me to breathe, and this bothers me because I don't enjoy walking outside as much as I used to. Solar power is one of the most efficient energies, and it is one of the most environmental friendly. Other energies like fossil fuels need to be burned, and this energy causes lots of pollution, and it creates the greenhouse effect, heating up our planet. Switching to solar is not the most expensive, too, and is good for the environment. And other energies are not limited because they can run out and are very unhealthy. Solar is infinite because it comes from the sun. Although solar can be expensive and not too many people go solar, I have made up some solutions so people can go solar. I think people should get a tax incentive when they go solar so it will be easier for people to go solar. Another solution is to make a program to educate kids about solar so they will see this as a threat and hopefully make a difference in the future. My last solution is to change the law a little bit so some energies will be banned, and this will be expensive. To change the law that some energies are banned, and this so people can switch to solar. But solar isn't the cheapest, but it will help in the long run. Thank you for your time and having me, and goodbye.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Okay. Hi, my name is Ashwin. Thank you for having me and listening to my issue. I think traffic is a huge problem in Portland. People are sitting there in their cars for hours with their engines on while they could be doing something else. Most people have gas cars in Portland, and when their engines are on in traffic, they release extra gas into the atmosphere. I am an environmentalist and care about our atmosphere, so I want to find a solution. A study by the INRIX confirms the extent of our problem by ranking us the city with the 12th worst commute in the country, and that's 40th in the world. That's out of 240 U.S. cities and 1,064 worldwide. And congestion is expected to get worse in Oregon, according to the economic impacts of congestion study released at the 2015 Oregon Business Summit. The study said if traffic spending is not increased, the average metropolitan household will be stuck in congestion for 69 hours a year by 2040, triple the time in 2010. The impact on freight-dependent businesses will be even greater because such congestion can cause them to miss critical shipments, reducing the state's economic competitiveness because many goods travel through the Portland region. Also, the Portland Bureau of Transportation, echoing many other predictions of explosive growth, estimates that by 2035, the city will add 260,000 new residents, commuting to 140,000 new jobs. If current habits continue, that means about half a million more daily solo trips. But you must have heard before that we have bad traffic. But my solution is to put toll booths on frequently used roads so people who aren't willing to pay the tax will go on less used roads. My other solution is to put a tax relief on companies that will make flexible starting times because rush hour is when all businesses start and end, and during that time, everyone is trying to get home, and there's tons of traffic. If companies make flexible starting and ending times, people can go home earlier and later. Since everyone is going home at different times, there won't be as much traffic. By using these ideas, we'll be able to reduce traffic, and by doing that, reduce pollution.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Adeline Reed, and I am here to talk to you about an idea I had. I have given you a page with some visual aids to refer to during or after this time. I think that we should place toy lending chests around Portland. What are toy lending chests? If you see a toy that you would play with, you take it out. Just remember to be courteous and put something you don't use in to replace it. That way, another kid can have it instead of it going and sitting in your house and collecting dust. Something that might seem old and uninteresting to one might be new and exciting to another. I think that having these would build community because people would be sharing. It would also make people feel more connected and cared for if they're poor and can't afford to buy toys. On the environmental side, it would help too, because another kid can have the toy you put in instead of it going to the dump, and that kid having to buy a toy, then consuming more than we need to. This issue is important to me because I have toys sitting in my room that I don't use. I feel that I shouldn't when someone else could be enjoying them. Kids should definitely have access to some toys. According to the Child Development Institute, toys are more than just fun and games for kids. Most toys provide at least some opportunity for the children to learn. The best toys engage a child's senses, spark their imaginations, and encourage them to interact with others. And we all need some stuff. Many of us have taken it too far. Though, according to the Minimalist, the average American household contains more than 300,000 possessions. According to Psychology Today, when we anticipate buying something, it releases a chemical in our brains called dopamine. Dopamine makes us happy, and we want more of it. We can get addicted to this chemical, buying more and more. These around neighborhoods or town would help decrease consumption and compulsory consumption, and encourage people to share and find things they like for no money and no material wasted. What I need from you is permission to place these in some public parks around Portland. Even a few would be okay, but according to Parks and Recreation, there are 144 public parks in Portland. I just want to take the first step to having them all over. To do that, I will need a grant of about $413.68. That would pay for 4 waterproof boxes to put in 4 of the parks around Portland. If I get this grant, I have decided to put the boxes in these parks: Washington Park Playground, Jameson Square, Kun-Amakwas Park, and Peninsula Park. I chose these parks because they all have some open space where I could imagine a toy lending chest going. I also tried to spread them out around Portland. I hope you consider my idea. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. So is that the end of the kids' testimony? I understand there. Do we have more? I understand there's the teacher is here, Minda McCandless. Are you here? Did you want to just say for 30 seconds the reason for being here? And I understand you'd like to have a picture with the kids. And so if you could do that, then we could file up here and have a picture with the kids. That'd be a lot of fun.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry, you have to speak into the mic because it's a public meeting. Sorry. I know.
Actually, not everybody in the class spoke because some went to Salem last week to do state issues, but they all picked issues that they cared about and did research and tried to come up with solutions that were viable that were involving the government and or the community. So
great.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for being here. And kids, thank you for your excellent, excellent testimony. It is well received. So why don't we file down here? We'll take a picture.
Thank you.